We ask you to help us to understand your words, and Lord, if we do understand this passage, help us to understand it, to be consistent in our approach here. And I pray that you'd help us to be faithful to your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I've heard many takes on Romans 13, and I usually see an inconsistency in them. So I've asked the Lord to continue to show me the right approach to this that is consistent. And in my conscience, I have it to where I do believe it's consistent. And but you're always looking for improvement of something. So Romans 13, 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. So every new Bible changes higher powers to governing authorities. Everyone, New King Jimmy. And even Dr. Ruckman, a staunch King James man, usually in his commentaries, he'll have scripture, and then he blasts a bunch of people, and then he has explanations. So it's usually about one-third explanation, one-third blasting somebody, and he just tears them up. And it's usually the New Bibles. But on Romans 13, he, for some reason, jumped on the same side as the New Bibles. Even in his commentary. This is referring to governing authorities. And I'm like, wow. You didn't blast the NIV. You didn't blast the New American. You didn't blast any of them. You just jumped right on their same side. Let every soul be subject unto governing authorities. And then that leads like blind obedience to governing authorities. Is that what that's saying? And then it says, for there's no power or governing authorities, but of God, the powers that be are ordained of God. So that would mean he would say that the Nazi government was it wrong for a German individual to stand up against the Nazi government? Or fascist or communist, you know, and so the German people, and this is one thing that I think Jordan Peterson is consistent about, you know, a lot of things, but this one in particular, where he looks at the German people and people will say the German people were bad, evil, and all that stuff. He said, but if you lived in Germany at the same time, you would have probably done the same thing. And that is true in reality. So let's kind of work on it. Now, you just got to be confirmed in your spirit, your approach to it. So let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. I would dare say one approach here is to see what it is not. And oh, there, I put a bunch of notes in there. So... okay, Final Jeopardy. Where's the first time you find the word govern in the Bible, and who's it involved?
Isaiah. Before Isaiah.
Before Isaiah. You could say Old Testament Hillary. Yeah. You're right. I'm heading that way. We're on the same page and in the same book. Okay, first person that used the word govern.
What is First Kings?
Thank you for cheating. It is First Kings 21. So if you read that chapter, 1 Kings 21, the Bible gives how governing authorities steal land. 1 Kings 21 is the process. And how they do it spiritually. Okay, so that's Ahab and Jezebel. So that's not a good connotation. And how many times do we hear the government created this job, created that, created this, created that? Government creates nothing. It's free and independent people who create. Government must steal from someone in order to give to someone else. They have to. They do nothing positive. Okay, and Adam Smith was a book written in 1776. He's one of the things that the founding fathers read. So government, okay, First Kings, you get, what was your bet?
21-7.
No, what was your bet for Final Jeopardy? minus 100. Okay. Okay, governing authorities. Let's say, okay, I try to approach something of what it is not first. That often, that's like a doctor diagnosing somebody. What's wrong with them? It's a mechanic. So can you think of somebody in the Bible, and we'll maybe run chronologically, who did not obey governing authorities, and they were blessed? Oh, that's Daniel. I always wanted to go further back. But yeah, you're right. You're right.
Rahab,
further back. Moses' parents. Remember that? Moses, by faith, they hid Moses. And what did governing authorities say? So Moses is the... Well, actually, go back also to the midwives. I mean, they had a direct command from the power that be to kill the Jewish kids. And then Moses, his parents actually first, okay, his parents, and then him, because he went against Pharaoh, okay? So chronologically, we'll keep running through there, Moses, then Rahab. Okay, so we got Rahab. Rahab chose lying over murder. She lied to the king of Jericho, but if she would have told the truth, they would have murdered those men. Rahab is an unusual character where a lot of times when people talk to governing authorities, what do? They tell on themselves. They ask me a question, I don't have to answer. You have a right to remain silent. So when I get stopped by police, do you know why I stopped you? I want to say, well, I can't read your mind. I always say, I've not a clue. And my wife's sitting over there saying, if I get out of that one, I haven't got out of everyone, but I don't know why they stopped me. And that's not being rude, and a police officer has a very difficult job. And my approach is that I want to be able to witness to that person. So I don't want to be rude. I don't want to be belligerent in a outrageous way. I want to keep my testimony, but I can keep my testimony in a gentle way. So Rahab is a wonderful example of that. As we keep crumbing, maybe crawling, Rahab, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, okay, let's see, any in Samuel, Elijah, I really don't think Elijah obeyed Ahab, right? I mean, Ahab tried to get Elijah to come. He basically said, go take a hike, pal. Elijah. Okay. How about Mordecai? Mordecai's another one. Okay, then Mordecai. Is it AI? I don't know. And then you said, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, or commonly known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the three Hebrew, instead of spelling all that others. Okay, then Daniel in the lion's den. Okay, seems like there's another more. Okay, how about this one? Matthew 17, if you would take a look at that. Matthew 17, 24 to 21. And we've probably all heard this argument. Well, you got to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar. And then Jesus said, unto Caesar and then unto God. And that's an example of rightly dividing. It's a beautiful picture there. He's rightly dividing political, religious. Okay, but in Matthew 17, verse 24, if you kind of try to discern the spirit of Jesus answering Peter, and maybe you don't feel what I'm saying. It says, verse 20, and when they were come to Capernaum, they that had received the tribute money. Now, tribute money is slightly different than tax money. It's very precise, but even at that, came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? And then you can see that Peter's, well, yes, everybody does. Yes. And he was coming to the house. Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? I'm trying to get him to think. Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Now, would that not be a right tax program? What's Trump saying? Tariffs. The citizens are freeborn. What's Biden been doing? Giving all this free money, giving incentives for people to come in, pull the incentives away, and they won't want to come in. So I see that Jesus is a little put out, myself, here. He said, of strangers, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou shalt open his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, then take and give unto them for me and thee. So I think he's given us an idea. Okay, we can have liberty, but yet we want to kind of keep our testimony in stake, but we don't want to give up our liberty, where he says in Galatians, stand fast in liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Now, I know that one's probably more religious liberty, but I see that Jesus is giving us an example here that a governing structure, the ideal way of raising taxation or tribute would be through foreigners. When people come to our country, where the citizens should be freeborn. Okay, and we lived that way for a long time. Our country did for a long, long time. Okay, another person. Let's see, Jesus. How about Peter? In Acts 5, remember this was a religious one to tell him to shut up. And he said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So that'd be Acts 5, 29. And then the last one's Paul. Paul is a funny character. I think he was some type of, he knew the law well enough in Rome. I don't know if I would say he was a lawyer of Rome, but he knew it well enough. There are two times that, like one time in Acts 16, he was unjustly arrested. He was unjustly beaten. And then when the magistrates who ordered his beating found out he was a Roman, Oh boy, they got scared because they were lawbreakers. And so that's in Acts 16, and that's with the Philippian jailer. And then the magistrates, when they realized they're wrong, they wanted to get rid of Paul kind of in the dark of the night. Yeah, just please leave. And he said, make them come up and get me themselves. And he was rubbing it in their face. He could have stayed in town and probably had every one of those magistrates arrested because he was unjustly accused and punished, but he had bigger game to play. And so in that game, he left. Okay, so he could have done that. Acts 22 is another time where it says that he was freeborn. So Paul kind of gives this example for us. So the idea of rendering Caesar that which is Caesar unto Caesar and things unto God. Now another thing is, I do think we need to keep in mind in Romans 13, when he's talking about the higher powers, is he talking politically or religiously? Because with the Jewish people, it can go either way. And I've heard some interpretations say that in Romans 13, if the governing authorities, if that's who he's talking about, if they don't do their lawful right, then we would not have to obey. But to me, that's saying two wrongs don't make a right. So I think there's got to be a little different approach. And so let's try to figure this out from an American viewpoint. Okay, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. We'll put Caesar here. I want you, and some of you have heard me do this. So I hope that's an AE. I don't know. Who's Caesar in America? Who is Caesar? Caesar was the highest Roman authority at the time. And at that time, Rome, Israel, were subjects under Rome. So this is why Jesus said, as a subject of Rome, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar. Who's Caesar in America? He thinks he is. Who's Caesar in America? You're cheating. Okay, you're right. But let's reason this out for a lot of folks. Okay, who's Caesar in America? A lot of people would say the president. Okay, let's try it this way. Who was the highest lawful authority? Now, we're discounting God, so we put God supreme. Who is the highest lawful authority on July 5th, 1776? They declared their independence on the 4th. On July 5th, there was no constitution, there was no president, there were no governors, there was no nothing. Who was the highest lawful authority right then? We the people. So that's Caesar. You and I are Caesar. You know? We're sovereign. And even King George admitted that when he wrote, when he surrendered in 1787. Where he said, and this is where we get this common saying that a man is a king of his castle. So, but what do we think? Okay, so now here we have the people. They're the sovereign. They chose, the people chose to have some rules and regulations, a constitution over their colony that became a state. So whoever wrote it, but the people approved it, so they became the creator of their constitution. And what is a constitution? That's a job description. That is what the people say to the county officials and the state officials. That's your limitation. We will maintain our rights, and we will delegate certain things to you, and you need to abide by that. And the way we're going to make sure of that is you're going to take an oath and a bond, and you're going to take an oath that you're going to swear to keep that authority. And if you don't, we could sue you on your bond. Where do they get that idea from? You find that in Numbers 30, verse 2. Numbers 30, verse 2. Every judge, after January 1st, they are supposed to take, all they have to do is walk across the aisle to the other judge and say, I need to take an oath and a bond, so I swear to uphold the Constitution, blah, 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 blah. And then he signs this thing, he gets an insurance thing, and that's all he has to do. And the other one walks across the aisle and signs it, boom. They often don't do that because they're so arrogant. Bill Day caught 8 judges in South Bend that didn't have their oath and bonds. And which makes everything they do null and void. Totally null and void. And when he told the judge that, Bill was such a kind man, and when he told the judge that, she said, it don't matter. Then the next day she went and got her oath and bonds. But what she did is she raised her crime from a de facto judge to a judge impersonating officer. But what happens? Nothing. These people just move forward until somebody knows how to kick them out of office. And there's a couple of people who have done that. I don't know how to do it. It'd be kind of nice to. Okay, so this is at the state level. Okay? Then the states, 13 of the colonies, got together, and I tell you, the intelligence of those people was, James Madison, I think, was 26 years old when he authored most of the Constitution. Can you imagine doing that at 26 years old? And he lived next door to a Baptist pastor, John Leland. And he showed it to John Leland, and John Leland said, you got nothing in there for the free exercise of religion. And so then they threw in 10 Bill of Rights. That was at the advice of a Baptist preacher, you know, the neighbor of James Madison. Now, what's the federal constitution? Okay, you had the federal constitution just like the state constitution, and it is a job description of the federal government, and they have 4 obligations, and that's it. That's it. National Post Office, interstate commerce. They have, when you have judicial disagreements across straight lines, and national defense. That's it. How do they do all this stuff outside of this? Okay, and so that's it. But they do all this. You know, health care is a right. No, it's not. Nothing in the Constitution for that. None whatsoever. So technically, Caesar in America is here. Below them is your state. Below them is federal. How do these guys get away with that? They have an unlimited access to print currency. And if a state don't comply with the Fed, what do the Fed do? They pull the money. And what's the states do? They'll jump right in line. And you know, when the abortionists are crying about Roe v. Wade, that is right to put it in the state, in the state's authority, not the federal authority. That's where it's supposed to be. And if a person in Illinois wants an abortion, and if Indiana, if they want an abortion, they can't, just drive over to Illinois, you dirty murderer. And then it's on, you know, whoever's hands, that's it. Okay, so Romans 13, in my mind, is if we understand the law. Now, the Supreme Court has said that if there is a law that goes contrary to this Constitution, it's null and void. So it's of no value. So it doesn't mean we have to obey it. Now, that doesn't mean you should run around helter-skelter, you know. There's things you do, okay, and politeness is the key. Asking questions is a key, okay, and we've never had a problem street preaching, not one time. I've dealt with police officers, never had a problem. The first time I street preached in Lowell, I was standing there by Mickey D's. Here comes a police officer, and he says, you got a permit to do this? I said, I certainly do. It's called the Constitution of the United States Free Exercise Religion. That's what I'm doing right now. And he says, Well, okay. He knew I didn't have to have a permit. He was just testing the waters. And so, but they usually want to get the last say, and you just sometimes let them do it. And he said, well, if you get out here in the street, I'll arrest you for I don't know what. And I said, well, can I cross the street to get to the other side? He said, oh, yeah. I said, see you later. And so he left. The most recent one, we were over there. I went on the other side where DeMott State Bank is. I went catty corner. There's the fire gas station there. I'm on the sidewalk. And a lady came out of the gas station, said something about you need to move or whatever. And so she said, move. So I moved. And so, no, she said, she didn't want me standing there. I said, I'm on public property. This sidewalk. She, well, that's private property. No, that's public. See, there's power lines. That's an easement. That's all public area. So she went back in, called the police, lied to the police, and said I was harassing her customers. Three cars came out. I really felt important. Three cars. And I didn't have a box of donuts either. But three cars came out, and one walked up, and he just said, you could stand there as long as you want. I said, oh, I'm only going to, just another 30 minutes. He said, well, they said that you were harassing your customer. I said, sir, I've been standing right here the entire time. I didn't even get on the grass right over there. I said, she lied to you. Okay. Turns around and leaves. That's all that it took. And she's just being polite because I want to be able to witness to him maybe down the road if I could right at the time. I don't know if I gave him a track at the time. But he understood that I knew my lawful rights, and so that's the intent. The intent is to maintain our liberty. That's our intent. And so because of that, now if he would have whipped out his taser or gun, then I'm no fool. You know, under fear, threat, and duress, I'll go where you want me to go. Now, we've learned through Memphis that if you have a pushy police officer that really wants to put you, give in at the time, because it's no use getting beat up if you don't have to. It's not, just not fun, not a good idea. And jail's a terrible waste of time. Unless you have a purpose, like John Bunyan, okay? But what you do is you just comply, and then the next day or within a week, you go into the city attorney and say, sir, this is what happened. Here's the video I have, because you have your camera on. And this officer violated my civil rights. And I probably am in a good position to sue the town for a violation of civil rights. And that attorney will call the police station, and he will correct the officer. Because they don't want to get in a lawsuit. And you're not being belligerent. You're not calling their bluff. You're just saying, hey, I want my liberty to be able to do this publicly. Now, I personally have written a five-page legal document. It's called a notice and demand about the right to stand in front of a courthouse in public area, in a county fair, at an airport. And we could distribute gospel tracts and preach and do all we want. And I've posted it at the post office. I did it at a post office here years ago. I did a post office Rensselaer. Did it at the courthouse for Rensselaer, and that's notifying the public, and that's good enough. Or you could put it in a newspaper three weeks in a row in the legal part, and that's notifying the authorities that, hey, I have a right to do this, and I intend to do it. And that's the way they used to do it in America. You used to post it at the post office. Boy, has anybody ever gone to Williamsburg down in Virginia? It's a remake of what is Williamsburg, obviously. Huh?
Colonial.
Colonial, yes. We went and we went to the Colonial Church, and that guy gave the gospel presentation to those people, and they're just sitting there like this. Oh, we're enjoying this. And when he got done preaching, I said, man, that was great stuff what you just said. But he's doing it as an actor. I hope the guy believed it. But what those people used to do, they'd put on notices in stores, and they'd say, please pray for my son. He's out of fellowship with God, and, you know, so and such. They just put it right out and open, because those people were Christian-minded. And that's how they did that. That's the way America used to be, you see. And so the way the federal authorities do an executive order, you know, Trump, he's going to sign a bunch of executive orders. How many people know that that only works on federal territory? Executive orders have nothing to do with you and I on private property. Al Gore let that be known when he was going. Did he go against Bush? E. Gore and Bush? He actually made that mistake, and I think that's one of the reasons why he lost, because he let the cat out of the bag. And federal territory is very, 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 very small jurisdiction. It's only in a federal court. Is there a federal courthouse in Hammond? I think there is. That's only federal territory. In other words, all the rest of Hammond is state's territory. And another trick on this thing, and here's where they get us, they really get us, is that when we think nation, United States, what is that? United States. Okay, if you look at the Declaration of Independence, it's a lowercase u, United, uppercase S, United States of America, where those men said the state was supreme. Okay, and they had 13 individual national states, and but yet, if you go in court today and say United States, that could mean, and you have to define it. Okay, do you mean 50 states? Do you mean 50 states and D.C.? Do you mean 50 states and D.C. and the United States territories? Or do you mean United States, the corporation that was started in the 1800s? That's where they get us. They have a counterfeit United States. And people think that's United States nation, but that's a corporation. Lowell is a municipality. What is that? That's a corporation. And they have corporate charter. And for you and I to drive through Lowell is to comply with a corporate charter. And if you don't comply, an officer, and Lowell Town cops are bad. They are bad. My son's had so many tickets at Lowell that he got knew the attorney personally. And I mean, they just have overstepped their bounds terribly. Okay, but if the charter violates this, it's null and void, but who's going to fight it? Who's going to fight it? And it's a real pain. And so, yeah, the counterfeit United States is what get it. And just like what's happened in our country has happened in a church. So in the church, you have the Holy Bible. And the first Bible that Congress commissioned to be published was John Atkin's Bible. John or Robert? Atkin Bible. I think Robert. It was a King James Bible. And that was the first one published by as a nation. And but now we got all these new Bibles. So this is the trick we have in our country. So what am I saying? Our lawful authority is God. And then as a person, we can appeal to an unjust official. Okay, like if it's on the street with a person. Who gives us that example in the Bible? Daniel. When Daniel was kidnapped, trafficked to Babylon, he was told to eat such and such. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He appealed to Melzar, and God intervened for him at that time. He appealed to Darius, but God didn't intervene, and he had to do the lion thing. The three Hebrew children appealed, but then they said, He said, King, let it be known to you. Now that's faith. When they said what they said, oh, it's so classic what they said. And I don't see them ranting and raving and yelling and screaming. They just, you know, just like an Amishman said one time when he held a gun. He said, now, sir, I'm a peaceful-minded man, but you're standing where I'm about ready to shoot. And so that's a pretty nice way of saying that. And here's you know, what they said is, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee this matter. If it so be, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou set up. Won't do it. And they didn't know if God was going to deliver them or not. So I've been in court multiple times. You know, I'm kind of glad that stuff's kind of in my past. But and I usually will get a judge to rule against the King James Bible in court, because I'll put up a judicial notice to require to take a judicial notice to the judge that the King James Bible is the absolute word of God. And then I'll quote the year of the Bible that Ronald Reagan signed. He signed it. And can you imagine Ted Kennedy signed that thing? It was a joint signature that 1983 was the year of the Bible. And then in there it says that Andrew Jackson says the Bible is the book that the Republic rests. And so I bring that in front of a judge. You know, it's one of the many things I filed in a request to take judicial notice of this. And he denies it. And then I just go, Lord, do you hear that? Do you hear what he just did? Just wanted to get that across. And I know it doesn't go anywhere, but I just want to get it across. And so then when he suffered a heart attack, I took another Bible and I wrote in there all the verses for judges and went up to the judge's chamber. And I said to the secretary, would you give to this judge while he's recovering, please? Thank you very much. And I walks out. And so I almost watched him flip his toupee when I didn't stand up for him when he walked in. If you want some real excitement, go to a court and don't stand up and just watch the reaction. And but in our rule in Jasper County, if you read the court rules, it says attorneys are required to stand when the judge walk in. So since I'm not an attorney, I didn't stand up, and they yelled and screamed at me. And so, but you know, so I, instead of making a ruckus, I just wait till they all walk in, then I walk in afterwards, so I don't create a scene. I just don't like standing for somebody that is not honorable, or I don't know if they're honorable. Right. I've never called a judge your honor. I've called them judge every single time because I don't know them. Mm-hmm. And the ones I've dealt with have not been real honorable. And so there's some things that we kind of learn, but in Romans 13, our highest power is the Lord. And if we are a lawful individual, we could just carry ourselves as a sovereign, which we are sovereign, meaning we have a free will, and we're polite to people, kind to people. I mean, I've dealt with people in Jasper County, you know, I mean, my name's well enough in there. Not that I really appreciate it, but they also know that I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. And I just believe certain things, and I'm not going to be mad at you or anything, but when you, judge, walk out of the courthouse, I might be standing there with a scripture sign trying to get you to pay some attention to this book. And if you want to go home and snort your weed, your cocaine, as we knew that this one did, filthy mouth judge, he's going to answer to God for that. God takes this oath and bonds. You find that in Numbers 30, verse 2. He takes that oath and bond that these people take as an agreement with him. And that's serious with God. So, Romans 13. To me, this is the consistent way of handling it, Romans 13. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell any of us to blindly follow any human authority. Yeah. Nowhere. All of these men testify that. Ask questions. And when you ask a public official a question, they are required to give you the answer. If they do not give you the answer, then they are derelict of their duty. And when they're a derelict of your duty, let them know, which I've done, in print. Never violently, just only in print. Okay, and so, maybe verbally, but just let him know that I object to your behavior. I object what you're doing, and I'm going to stand on my liberties, and so we're just going to move forward with that. And so it's different ways and different approaches. So Romans 13, in good conscience, I don't hesitate just because somebody has a uniform and a badge doesn't make them the higher power. Remind them they are public servants. Just remind them. I have a track out back there. Are you a public servant or public menace? And when I hand that to a police officer, they have the funniest look on their face. And it's not, police officers have such a difficult job. Such a difficult job. I mean, people are so rude to them. And that's why we want to behave properly. Sure, there's rogues in the police force, but there are a lot of good men too. And so that's why I believe, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Okay, for there's no power but of God, the powers that be are ordained of God. And then whosoever resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now that's not eternal, obviously. And so a person has to weigh the options. What is the options here that we have? And we live in such an amazing country. And the Lord has given us these opportunities, but yet we need to verbalize if we don't understand what's going on, verbalize it to the one who is in the position to give you the answers, and then just act accordingly on that. Okay, I suppose that's good enough. And, there's other things we could throw in there at another time. And so it's something you got to work out for yourself, what you think is consistent with Scripture and what's consistent in life. And just remember that our testimony is the most important thing. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for your words, and I do thank you for in showing me what I think is the right thing to do for this chapter, for this relationship. But I pray that you'd help us to, God, please have mercy. Please have mercy in our country. And I kind of think I see what you're doing and very excited about it. Lord, looking forward to the millennium. Sure would love to hear the shout. In Jesus' name, amen.